it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Lloyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, do we have a show for you tonight? Thank you for tuning in to what I believe is a big night for Houston Dynamo fans. I think it's a big night for the club itself. It's a big night for Soccer Matters in ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Literally. Outside of the first segment, this is wall-to-wall Houston Dynamo coverage here tonight. Let's just call it a Dynamo takeover for almost the entire show tonight. Producer Andrew Carlson and I are excited about bringing you the show. Put a lot of good work into this. We were aided by the Houston Dynamo and Edgar Valise and many, many others. But this is a show tonight with the amount of content that I think you will be able to use as a reference point going forward here in 2022. Soccer Matters, always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. So a big thank you to John and his firm. John Daspit, DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual, the number to call if you need a personal injury attorney. So here's why we're so excited. The guests on the show tonight, we do a solid 20 minutes with new Dynamo coach Paulo Nagamura. We do a solid 30 minutes with Dynamo GM Pat Onstad. And we do a solid segment one with part two with Asher Mendelson, the new technical director. That'll be on the podcast. My idea also was to get some thoughts on Paulo Nagamura from outside the market. So we went to Sporting Kansas City, and we did that with an acquaintance of mine. I've known him a long, long time. Former U.S. men's national team player, long-time MLS and Sporting Kansas City director of player personnel, Brian Bliss. So Brian Bliss worked directly with Paulo Nagamura. I feel obligated to give you as much information as possible. I'm going to tell you this right now. Paulo Nagamura, Pat Onstad, Asher Mendelson are excellent. They're open. They are very transparent. And they are very passionate about the opportunity at hand, and also very realistic of the challenges. And I think they know all the challenges. I think being here a while is going to help them. But I think much like national media, they don't understand what's happened here in Houston over the years. My first comment when I went on with Jason Davis of Sirius Radio was, I disagree. Because everybody goes back to 2006 and 7 and, you know, we got the gift of San Jose, and that's kind of where it is, and that's the extent of it. Nobody does a deep enough dive because of the lack of relevancy we have had here in Houston. I think this authenticity, I think this actual feeling of, hey, let's not be ashamed of where we are, let's focus on the future, but let's also know where we are, how we got here, how it got this deep down in order to go forward. And it got deep down because of leadership and bad leadership. And I'm sorry, it's a fact. Now, these are differing times for the Houston Dynamo. I'm optimistic. I think you're going to love this show tonight. And I'm very proud of what Andrew and I have put together. And Andrew, I do want to thank you before we get into this tonight here. And I will say right now, before Andrew comments, give us a call right now at 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. If you want to get a take-in tonight, you got to do it in this segment because we are wall-to-wall giving the platform to the aforementioned gentleman. So, Andrew, I know it's been a long day for you. You're doing a great work on the wheelhouse ahead of time. That's a ton of work. I want to thank you for all the work you've done helping put this one together tonight.
Yeah, Glenn, it's been great. I mean, you want to talk about a show that is truly groundbreaking in terms of the guest list that you have on and what you're doing. soccer, no soccer, what, when you've got the head coach and general manager of any organization coming on in one show, in addition to someone who, in Asher Mendelson, who's the technical director, a position the Dynamo have never had before, which is them sort of catching up with the times. I mean, this is as good as it gets from a Dynamo perspective in terms of what you can get in terms of content.
Yeah, and the good thing here is these aren't fluff interviews. We're going to ask people about player signings. We're going to talk about, you know, change of culture, all the real kind of hot point words that are being used now. Now, if you notice it, there are a hot, it's proactive, it's collaborative. These are all the words that are being used. They're good words. And there are reasons why I understand the Dynamo fan is cautious right now. You should be. And that's okay for you to do that. And I think all these guys understand that as well. So, you know what, Andrew? I think if we can hook into Game On for 90, I got a pretty hot take off the top here. I'd like to take phone calls at 713-780-3776. But I do want to get a few things out there in the open right now if we can. So I'd love to do the Game On for 90.
Game on, man.
Here's Glenn Davis.
Game on.
With Game On for 90.
All right, so I'm on the clock here. Here we are in a new and differing times for the Houston Dynamo. New owner in Ted Siegel, a new GM in Pat Onstad, a newly created technical director position that Asher Mendelson will hold down. By the way, we're finally catching up with the times there, right? He'll hold that down. Plus, we have a new coach in Paolo Nakamura. Now, I told you that the coaching position would come with a question mark. We knew it. It would likely be an assistant or a USL head coach. It is Paolo Nakamura coming from Sporting Kansas City, too. A lot of this should lead to optimism. And you got to credit Ted Siegel. There's a definite feel of ideas coming here from the experiences of these gentlemen from the Columbus Crew and Sporting Kansas City. And these are clubs where the three aforementioned men have gained a lot of their experience. It's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. These are great clubs to take ideas from. But they will need to mix that with the multicultural city of Houston and the differing things that come with this city. They all deserve to be given a chance to turn this around. They have a huge job, a job that I think is going to take 3 to 5 years to turn around if you want to regain relevancy in all aspects. Player development, establishing a supportive relationship with the soccer community, community outreach, so many more elements I can't even get into. This is more than a coach, a general manager, and a technical director. Houston talent locally has been bypassed. It has to be included. The good news is we're hiring more football people on the competitive side. That's down to Ted Siegel. Additionally, change will need to come in other underperforming areas, and let's see where that goes when it comes to establishing a new culture. And I'm going to have to go on before 90 seconds here. The words you and I are hearing are good ones. Collaboration, changing culture, proactive playing style, and a fresh start. They're all applicable. But they'll need time to prove out. And you, the Dynamo fan, you have every right to be skeptical. And I think Pat Onstad, Paolo Nakamura, and Asher Mendelson all know that. And if they don't, they will have to do an even deeper dive on the market. You have lived it. We have lived it. It has been too many years of low bar, lack of transparency and communication, and lack of soccer passion. So when you hear me on Sirius with Jason Davis, please don't take that as negative. This is passion. I got a pulse. The Dynamo now have a pulse in a lot of ways because of these new hirings and the new attitudes that are coming in. This was not anger. This was passion, and that's passion I have. Having played here since 84 as a young guy, professionally in differing times, working up heading a youth club, and then starting a third career in the media. We need healthy pressure. We need that to help these men change the culture collaboratively and get that fresh start. And be proactive. All the messages that we need to support in supporting the Houston Dynamo. Now, it's time to realize all the potential of this market. It's been too long. It's painful for me to talk to friends around the country when it comes to the MLS product, that is. Time to develop our own. Stop watching FC Dallas produce players. Time to develop our own soccer culture that can reach the heights of Austin relevancy. It's not going to be done through social media alone. It's time for us to reach deep. Be prideful. Bring it all in under the umbrella of our professional soccer team that will be collaborators, that are going to work with the soccer community. And yes, then we can really fully say we are inclusive. Tonight's show is prideful for both myself and Andrew Carlson. and I in Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. It's prideful for our station. I believe this can be a show you can go back to during the year as a reference point during the season. Now, with that, I will also say, these guys were excellent. Pat, Paulo, Asher were excellent. There are some questions that I asked that really, to be fair, should be asked 4 or 5 months down the road when people have settled in a little bit. They were all exceptionally professional. They were all exceptionally good in these interviews. So I hope you enjoy them here tonight. A special thanks also to those men for taking the time out of a very busy schedule, and also to Edgar Valise of the Houston Dynamo. But these are real interviews and conversations. They are not fluff. They are not here to grab hits, likes. They are here for you, the soccer fan, to digest and then put into your base of knowledge in and around this club when you decide to be passionate about it. So a big thank you for everybody tuning in here tonight. So we'll take some calls at 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. And that was not game on for 90. That was game on for about 2.5 minutes.
That's two legs. Two legs to
yeah,
tie.
Yeah. Well, we had to keep it going, Andrew. And we're not going to be ties. We don't want to hear about draws anymore, Andrew. Okay, I want to also thank the guys in the wheelhouse for mentioning and promoting what was coming up here tonight. Not everybody has to do that. That's a good thing. All right, I got a couple of news and notes here. I will take some phone calls if somebody dares to call in at 713-780-3776. If not, after that, we'll get through the segment and we'll roll into our interviews. And we're going to start it, I believe, with Paulo Nagamura. It's a great 20-minute interview. You'll get to know him. I think you may think of him differently after this interview, because I do know the skepticism that was out there initially. Let's see. Okay, Ricardo Pepi. There is a few things that I've learned that maybe that $19 million transfer fee might be overinflated. And frankly, I don't care. I don't care what they paid for him. I'm excited to see him at Augsburg. I have a feeling he's going to get thrust right into the starting lineup. That's a club in Germany that has a lot of injuries. They've only scored 17 goals. And they're also a club that has got some injuries in the striker position. They need a goal scorer. I would love to see that kid, Ricardo Pepi, who, by the way, moved from El Paso and came through the FC Dallas system as a little kid. I think he was 12 years old. Okay, so this isn't FC Dallas like a Chris Richards picking him up later in the career, getting all the credit for him going to Bayern Munich. A lot of that credit's got to go to Eric Quill for identifying him, moving him to FC Dallas. Eric is now a coach in Columbus, and this is another one of the guys I've mentioned repeatedly on this show that should be in the Dynamo organization, hands down. We can't let these guys get away. Monday, Teenage Adebi will play for Zimbabwe. This crazy thing called the African Cup of Nations will start on Sunday. Teenage will be playing for Zimbabwe against Senegal. So there's one to keep an eye on. I will go back again and just remind you to what I just said. National media has not done their homework on the Houston Dynamo. They really don't understand how deep down it is. It's always easy to just go back to the gift that we got, which was the San Jose Earthquakes. We put orange jerseys on them. We supported the hell out of them. They got out into the community, did all the community outreach work, a lot of it. But we also were boosted by the fact that professional soccer hadn't been here for a long time, which, by the way, dates back to the late 60s. So this was a remarkable time period. They came in and delivered. Dominic Kinnear commandeered this thing, did all the right things bringing it in. This is Jimmy Cliff. This is just, you know, take me back to the Caribbean, baby. I love this. Such a beautiful song. This guy's got the voice from the heavens, Jimmy Cliff. If you don't have that album, The Harder They Come, or never saw the movie, gotta see it. So transfer fees in the case of Ricardo Pepi, they're kind of like COVID numbers. Do we believe them? And a lot of times there's collusion there. So Dominic Kinnear is going to be an assistant at FC Cincinnati. Paul Rogers, the Dynamo goalkeeper coach, is headed there. Kenny Arena will be an assistant. That'll be interesting. And it's renewing with Jeff Cameron. All right. Take a break. Break is brought to you by FM Kitchen and Bar, Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture, Advantage BMW in Midtown. And I urge you, if you're looking for a charity, the Snowdrop Foundation. Our great friend Freddie Reyes is off fourth time. Cancer's appeared. He's fighting it right now. Spoke to him today. Many of you know him from some of the pediatric cancer events with Cy-Fair Dynamos. This guy's my hero. I can only tell you, this guy's my hero. It's not some celebrity. It's not some soccer player. It's this guy. We're going to take a break. Jimmy Cliff takes us there.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Benny Failhaber. And he gets it forward to Chance Myers. Myers. Now Nagamura. Sporting Kansas City. Paulo Nagamura has done it. Never count this team out.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 as well. Hope your holidays, hope your New Year's were great as we move here into 2022. Well, the Houston Dynamo have a new head coach. Our next interview is brought to you by FM Kitchen and Bar, two locations, one in the Montrose and Westheimer area, and also the one north of Washington Avenue on Shepherd. That's the one I go to. Beautiful outdoor patio, great craft cocktails, top burgers, top chicken sandwiches and salads. It's FM Kitchen and Bar. Oh, by the way, tons of monitors over there as well. Here is the new Houston Dynamo head coach, 20 minutes with Paulo Nagamura.
Well, Paulo, first off, congratulations. Not everybody gets this opportunity to coach in Major League Soccer. I'm sure you're fully aware. It's a lot of USL coaches that probably were interviewed, wanted the job. What does this moment mean to you personally from a coaching perspective?
Means a lot. Means a magnificent opportunity, right? I understand the responsibility. I understand the size of this club, but I also believe in myself. I believe in my abilities, and I really believe that we can turn this thing around, because it's been some difficult years for the Houston Dynamo FC fans in the last few years. So hopefully we can give them some joy in the near future.
Speaking to the new coach of the Houston Dynamo, Paulo Nagamura was an outstanding midfielder. You remember him from his days with the LA Galaxy, with Chivas USA, and with Sporting Kansas City, two MLS Cups he has won as a player, and two Lamar Hunt US Open Cups, I think, if I'm correct. The opportunity has come for you, and you've mentioned Peter Vermes and Sporting Kansas City and that influence. I get that part of it. Everybody has influences. What's the Paulo Nagamura influence? How do you take what you've learned from Vermes and all your coaching experiences, and then what's the secret recipe with the Paulo side of it?
I think you're right. I have a big influence because I've been playing and working for the last 10 years under Peter, right? But I was born in Brazil. I played in Brazil. I have that influence as well on that side of my coaching. And I also played in England 3 years. So I have that experience as well that I think mixing up together, I think it's a good formula, right? I like the game, how the game is played in a certain ways in England. I like the game, how it's played in certain ways in Brazil. And I have my knowledge of playing and coaching under one of the most successful organizations in the past few years here in MLS. So I think that's what's going to make maybe what you call the Paulo Nagamura formula.
Paulo, thanks for that. And you're pretty humble, because the two teams you were talking about, you played at as a youth. For my listeners, Sao Paulo in Brazil and Arsenal in England, huge clubs. How vivid are the memories? Because you were a youth player then. How vivid can you remember things? Or do you remember a specific thing a coach said to you that made a big difference?
Very vivid more memories. And I was just talking early this afternoon that when I got transferred from São Paulo to Arsenal, You one day you're watching Thierry Henry and Dennis Bergkamp and Patrick Vieira, watching them play on a World Cup or on a TV. And the next day you're actually training with those guys. So those memories for sure are memories that is going to be on the back of my head for a long time. And that's some, great experiences that I can definitely carry on through my coaching and through my entire life.
All right. Let's take a quick glance from your perspective. How much time have you been able to see the Dynamo play? How much tape have you watched? Obviously you watched some of their games last year, the current roster you have. How about just some observations from you on it?
Well, I watch probably over 75% of the games that Houston Dynamo play last year. It's difficult for me to judge or to say, what they're doing or what they're trying to do or how, because it's in my opinion, it's a little bit unethical because I don't know what Tab was doing, right? But from my point of view, one thing that really, really, stand out was, it was the competitiveness. It was the organization. It was, the mentality of the players and the team on the playing field. I remember very vividly, like you said, the days that I came here to the Houston Dynamo Stadium, and it was really, really difficult to get a result. It was really, really difficult to even get a tie. So I think in my opinion, unfortunately, the Houston Dynamo got away from that in a couple of ways. And that's what me as a coach, I'm going to try to implement, is to make this stadium our fortress and be always on the front foot and make it really, really difficult for other teams.
Okay. You're alluding to that San Jose team that was relocated here, right? And, the Eddie Robinsons, the Pat Onstads, the Brian Mullins, all these guys had an incredible work ethic. That was a 12-team league. That was a different time, but that's a part of soccer that never goes away, right? The fight, the determination. But that alone isn't going to help you win an MLS. So you're telling me that last year, essentially, you thought this team does not have a strong enough backbone, and that's being respectful to everybody that was on it, obviously.
I think it's part of the culture, right? This is the culture of the locker rooms, the culture of the club. Don't get me wrong. Brad Davis, great player. Pat Onstar, great player. Brian Ching, great player. Rico Clark, great player. But they were great, right? Because they have an unbelievable work ethic, an unbelievable commitment. They were team first. They were competitive, right? It's not that you just bring that part to the table. They had qualities, but if they don't have that part of on their game, I don't think they will be successful as they did in those years.
So as you look at the roster in the future, and now that you're in place, and we heard the general manager Pat Onstad say that look, Paulo's here now. Now we can think about some of the players because he didn't want to make moves without you being here. The backbone and the character of the guy is going to be huge, right?
Absolutely. I mean, look, we're going to have to instill our culture in the locker room, and it's just natural process, right? The guys that don't fit that culture, they're not going to fit in, right? And that's fine. That's fine. We just got to move on. We have to build that strong culture in the locker room, in the club, and then make some pieces based on what we believe and what our values are. So it's just a process. This is not going to happen overnight. This is not going to happen after preseason. This takes time. But I think this is a great foundation to how to start our work in this franchise right now.
He's the new Dynamo head coach, Paulo Nagamura, joining us. Very excited that he's coming to Houston. All right. You come from an organization that's cultural both on and off the field. In support of you and a head coach and a GM and a technical director, you don't have the support of the organization and the passion coming from the front office side too. That can be a problem. It's got to be everybody, right? You had that in Kansas City. Can you take us into, kind of that connection between the front office and the competitive side of the team?
Definitely. Yeah, it's a combined work. Absolutely. It's a combined work. And like Pat used the word collaboration, right? It's not just a technical side doing, and try to work on the culture. It comes in the front office. it comes all the way, it started from the ownership group, right? So that's a good thing. We know that the things that we believe, and I think that's why it was a great match and the interview process was so natural and transparent, is because we see what we need to do here at Houston the same way, right? We believe that that culture needs to be established. We need guys that are collaborate. We need guys that are players that are team players first. So it's definitely, it's a combined work that it takes. Like I say, it's a process. It's not overnight, but at least we know that once it's coming from the top, it's much easier to do it than it's just coming from the first team staff.
Paulo, in years past, and I say again, this is respectfully to everybody that's come and gone, but in years past, sometimes the communication and the transparency from the coach and the general manager have been very protected. They're not allowing the outside people in. And I understand there's certain things you can't talk about. But is that important to you from your position to be able to be transparent and communicative, not only to the press, but also to the media? Because that's the sense I got at the press conference that you had yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. I think transparency, I don't want to sell myself here, but it's one of my, that's one of my things. I need to be able to talk to the media and say, look, this is not good. We need to get better. This is good. We need to fix this and that, right? Of course, some information is very sensitive and we need to address that in a every proper way. But I believe transparency, if you want to have a ownership group, a director, club leadership, the technical staff, front office, all going to the same direction, it has to have a connection between all of the departments. So as long as we are transparent and having good communications, I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Talking to Paulo Nagamura, the new Dynamo head coach, Pat Onstad, and him yesterday in a press conference. And as we mentioned, as a youth player, Paulo at Sao Paulo in Brazil, and went to Arsenal, and of course came to Major League Soccer, won two MLS Cups. What have you learned coaching Sporting Kansas City too? When it comes to, I would go right into young players. What's the most important thing dealing with young players, and how much teaching do you think you're going to have to do now at this next level?
I think, yes, working with the young players, I think there's a lot of teaching. I think you have to be probably a little bit patient because you really work individually more than collectively on the second team in an academy basis, right? It's more like individual development than results oriented, let's put it this way. So I think with the first team here in Dynamo, I think we're going to have to get things done so we get the result on Saturday night. So definitely, the communication was a big part that I probably learned from my 5 years working with the second team, the communication with the players, making sure that players understand what they're being asked to, what needs to be done, what they need to achieve. I think just communication in general, I think it was a big thing that I took from that position that I had with Sporting Kansas City.
Now, when you step into a head coaching role, and I can tell you, when I first went on TV, I hope the tape doesn't exist, the very first time I ever came on TV, because yeah, I hope it's hidden and buried somewhere, because it was pretty funny. But this is a different thing. You're now going to be coaching hardened pros. You got a guy named Darwin Quintero on a roster that certainly provided challenges last year for Tab Ramos. Those two, this is natural in a soccer team. Is that going to be something you're going to have to learn a bit on the fly, or do you have enough experience working with the older player?
I think I do have enough experience to deal with older players. Look, at the end of the day, it's a fresh start for all the players in our roster right now, right? They have the opportunity to show the new coach what they do, what they're all about. And we're going to establish the standards. We're going to establish the expectations. And again, it's a process. Right. Some players gonna get them weave themselves out of it. Some players not gonna adapt. Some players gonna do well. So it's a process. It's not gonna be an overnight thing. But yes, I expect that there are gonna be players that are gonna be unhappy or whatever, not motivated. But it's the process. If we wanna build a process, we need to have players that fit that process and fit that culture that we were trying to implement.
At what point do you want this roster to transition into being Paulo Nagamura's roster? Does that take a year? Does that take 2 years? I mean, do we have any timelines from the owner and the organization? Because this is, I can say from my position, just very humbly, this is not an easy thing to turn around.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's not easy. But you know also that in this league, if you get a few pieces together and you become competitive, you can make the playoffs, right? So I'm not saying that in 1 year we're going to have a championship team. But what I'm trying to say is, like, if we put some pieces together, have a competitive team, we can make the playoffs, right? With the work that we're going to put in on a daily basis. So again, it's a process. We're going to have to assess the squad that we have right now on a daily basis. And hopefully we can do that as soon as we can possibly can. And also the players to understand what we're trying to achieve as well, because if they don't understand, it's going to be more difficult.
Paulo Nagamura, head coach of the Houston Dynamo, really appreciative that he's coming on the radio. So the first time you step in that locker room, where do you set the bar? Is it playoffs? Is it, you know, how do you set that bar as a coach?
I think you have to set up as a playoff team. That's what you have to set up as a playoff team, because, and you've been around for all these years, a team that makes the playoffs as a last place, as a first place, it's everyone's game when we get to playoffs. And I think as a team, as a franchise, I think it's fair for not only the players, the coaching staff, the directors, the owners, and the fans especially, okay, that we have set a goal like that, because we've been missing the playoffs for so many years now, and to be back in the playoffs, I think it's, if we can put those pieces together, it's an achievable goal.
Paulo, what are the positional needs for you? Is it a center forward? Is it an attacking midfielder? Is it a holding midfielder? Where are the biggest positional needs for you in your mind when you look at the roster right now?
Well, yeah, we definitely need to add some pieces. For sure, we're going to add, hopefully, in the near future, a center forward, a number nine. Hopefully, we can add a couple of midfielders as well. But again, this is a process. We discuss internally with Pat what's the best route to go. And well, one thing that I can guarantee is that our team is going to add quality, and hopefully that quality comes before the season opener on February 27th.
Okay, so my brain was working when you got hired, which doesn't always work all the time, but it was working for a little while. And I'm thinking, all right, Paulo Nagamura, Brazil, Sao Paulo, under 22 initiative. Will there be a look to go to Brazil and look for players with your contacts and the amount of people that you know down there?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a lot of contacts in Brazil, and I've been following the Brazilian league since I joined MLS. It's something that I always keep track of it. And I mean, it's a possibility, but it's always a possibility to get players from South America, from Mexico, from everywhere in the world. We're just trying to narrow down what's the best option for us right now.
Speaking of Mexico, you spent some time at Tigres. We're a city full of Tigres and Rayados fans. Tell us a little bit about your time at Tigres and kind of what it meant to you to play in Liga MX and at a club that storied.
Well, Tigres is a massive club in Monterrey, and it was... But the time that I spent there was a difficult time. It was a period that the team was fighting relegation. So the fans were really, really, really not happy with the team, and we didn't have a very good year. But in terms of an experience, unbelievable atmosphere, unbelievable fan base, and great as well to experience that Mexican league, the level of play of the Mexican league as well.
What about the pressure, the off-field pressure when you're not doing well in Mexico? It's a little bit different than MLS, right?
Very different. And that's one of the things that definitely I take from that experience is that if after we lose a game, you could barely go and have a dinner out with your family. I mean, the fans were... knocking on your car, asking why you lost the game, and there was pressure. And I think that helped me throughout the years having that experience, because not only you try to see the game from their eyes as well, because there's so many passionate fans out there that they want their team to do well. And I think that's the same thing that the fans here at Houston are expecting, is when we're going to do well. And that's the hope that we are having, to bring some joy to the Houston fans.
All right, last one before I let you go, and thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. Again, congratulations, Paolo. Is there a need for a big name player here? Is there a need for that? And what's your feelings on that? Because that's one of the things the fan base goes directly to. They'd love to see a name player here, but what's your feelings on that?
My feeling is that we have to structure the club before we add a big name, right? We have to instill that culture, instill that core of group of players first, before we add that big, big name into the Houston Dynamo, right? Because when you bring that big name, we cannot have that impact or destroy what we have built in the locker room. So I think there is place, but there are steps prior to that that needs to be done.
Paolo, fantastic interview. Want to wish you the best of luck. Thank you so much for coming on the program. I very much appreciate it. And we're pulling for you to help turn this thing around.
Thank you, Glenn. It was a pleasure.
All right, so that was Paolo Nagamura. Big thank you to him for all that generous time here, and we look forward to more conversations with the head coach of the Houston Dynamo. Again, that interview was brought to you by FM Kitchen and Bar, two locations, Montrose and Westheimer, down next to Velvet Taco, and then, of course, north of Washington on Shepherd. Get over there, say hello to Jason, FM Kitchen and Bar. Tremendous craft cocktails. They got the beautiful outdoor patio, which you can get a lot of space and a lot of room to go out there and have your lunch or have a drink. Great hamburgers, voted number one by the Houston Press. Chicken sandwiches, salads. It is craft cocktails, great fresh food. It is FM Kitchen and Bar. Stay with us. We have more to come on Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Presented always by our presenting sponsor. They bring it to you, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We roll on here tonight. A lot of great Dynamo content here, hearing from everybody in and around the decision-making of the club here and what is going to be a very important 2022. Our next interview, as always, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, 713-322-HURT. I just remind you that they help to get soccer on the air, like all of our other sponsors. So if you're in need of a personal injury attorney, you're getting a car accident, boat, motorcycle, driving 18-wheeler, support those that support your game on the radio. Our next guest has a varied, storied career in a variety of places. He is the new technical director for the Houston Dynamo. He is Asher Mendelson. He joins us now. Asher, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Glenn. It's great to be here.
Yeah, so your first initiative sort of reaction to getting offered the job and now being here in Houston.
I mean, I think it's incredibly exciting. You know, I think when you ask around the league about markets that have the most potential and have the most room to grow in terms of what they can do, not just with the first team and with the fan base, but also with the on the youth side. I mean, Houston's at the top of everyone's list, and people throw out words like the sleeping giants or sleeping dragons. But I think everyone's speaking to the potential of the market. And when you combine that with the ambition that the ownership has shown in since they've come into the club, and then people of the quality of character like Pat Onstad, who's one of the best people I've met in soccer from a character standpoint, from a person standpoint, it's a great opportunity for me personally. I think there's a lot of potential here, and I think it's really exciting to be part of it.
Asher, when Pat asked you for that job, and I concur with you on Pat, what a great human being. When he asked you for the job, kind of how did that go down? If you can share that with us.
Sure. Pat and I have known each other for a long time. Maybe not as long as some people here in Houston have known Pat, but we spent a lot of time together during our days in Columbus. And, And, you know, he kind of looped me in early in the process of him interviewing for this role, you know, asking for some feedback, some advice in terms of how to present his ideas, which is something he and I used to do when he was in Columbus looking for other roles. And so it was a very familiar process for the two of us. And we have that type of relationship where, you know, I was giving him some advice even prior to him talking to me about this opportunity. And at the end of when he's going in for his last interview, he pulled me aside and said, well, is this something you'd be interested in being a part of if it works out for me? And I said, of course. I said, this is, for all the reasons I stated, this is tremendous. You know, this would be a tremendous opportunity. And good luck.
Yeah, that's a good one. Asher, thank you so much.
He's like I said, he's someone who you want to be successful, whether you're with him or you're not with him. He's someone you root for. He's just that kind of type of guy.
All right. So with all the great guys coming in now, which I think that is something that's exciting us, the fact that now under new ownership, Ted Siegel, this technical director position has become created. What is the pecking order? You report to Pat, or how does that work?
Yeah, that's exactly correct. So I reported into Pat. He and I had some very good conversations when he talked about me coming in about kind of where his role starts and where my role starts and how we overlap. And there is going to be some overlap in the beginning. I mean, the reality is we're coming into a situation where the club is my term, starving for an identity. The people define that differently. But for me, when you look at a club identity, and there's some good examples in the league, whether it's Red Bull or whether it's a Sporting Kansas City or what we build in Columbus, you know, these are clubs that it's not just how the club plays, but it's the type of people that you're bringing in. It's how those people act when they're not on the field. It's how it's how you set up. It's what color you pick to paint the walls and what pictures you put up, you know, that you look at every day. I mean, it's everything. It's everything that you do. And so it's a big job, you know, creating a club identity is a big job. It's not about one person who's gonna create that for us. I mean, it's not just about Pat. It's not just about Paulo who's come in. It's not about me. It's not about the players that we sign. It's everyone who's coming into the organization, from an assistant equipment manager for our academy all the way up, has to fit what this identity of the club is going to become. And it has to be something that a lot of people weigh in on, in terms of all the way from, you know, starting with ownership, getting input from fans, getting input from the players, getting input from people who've been part of the club in the past. It has to resonate with people. I mean, if it was Pat and I sitting in a room with a whiteboard saying, okay, this is what the club should look like, it may fall flat. Even if we live up to whatever we put on the whiteboard, if it doesn't resonate with people, then it's not real. It's not going to stick. And it can't be dependent on me or Pat or any individual. It's got to be a collective effort to build this.
And so you're talking both competitive side and the front office side as well.
Our mandate is on the competitive side. So,
right. But it's got to bleed over, right? It has to bleed over. I mean, the culture you had in Columbus, the Sporting Kansas City culture, it has a lot of passionate soccer people in the front office as well.
That's right.
Do you foresee change?
No, I don't foresee any change. I mean, I'm speaking purely on the sporting sense. And that's, to be fair, that's been my exposure to date. So I'm not trying to set a precursor for anything outside of the sporting side.
All right, so let's go into technical director, because, you know, you and I were talking before that it can be nebulous. It depends. It might be different in Atlanta. It might be different in L.A. We finally have a technical director and you here, which is exciting. Take us into what your role is. I saw the press release. Obviously, you're very knowledgeable in the salary cap area, budget, roster, all these kinds of things, staff, hiring. Take us into your job from your perspective.
Yeah, I mean, and you're spot on. I mean, every club uses the technical director role a little bit differently. And I think my first mandate is really focusing on this, the club identity piece, and applying that to the first team. And so it starts with how do we want to play as a team, and helping define that with Pat and putting that in, not just, you know, taking that out of one person's head and putting it on paper and starting to codify that. And then it's saying, okay, if we want to play this way, then what kind of coach do we want? And can we go out and find a coach who can execute this vision? And was a big part of our search process, which was making sure that this coach is fitting the vision of the club that we're trying to build. And then the next piece of after that is saying, okay, now we have a way we want to play. We have a coach who knows how to train this and teach this and manage this. Do we have the players to execute it? And so that's the next step of the process, which is helping Pat go out and secure the players that we need for the first team to be able to execute this. And then the phase after that is saying, okay, now are we utilizing our full pathway with our second team, the MLS Next Pro Club the academies? Are those now long term also filling in what this identity looks like? And so it's a big process. And as a technical director compared to the GM, again, there's a lot of overlap in this. But it's a big job, and we have to, we're breaking it up. And, you know, I have some strengths specifically on the, you know, how do we set the strategy of this up? How do we put this on paper? How do we organize it? How do we prioritize what we're going after? I mean, that's really what my background has been. You know, when you cross over between MLS, the project I've done for MLS or the project I've done for US soccer or even in Columbus, you know, this was a large part of how helping organize this change process, and helping take, a vision that someone has and then make it a reality. That's a lot of what I do. You know, I bring certain skill sets in terms of applying analytics. So I'm not a data guy myself, but I live in between the worlds of the soccer people and the data people, and try to make sense between the two of them and have them be able to talk to each other, because they speak different languages. I'm fluent in both, but I'm not necessarily, no one's going to hire me to write a book in either of them.
So. Asher, you're scaring me. Sometimes I think I'm living in the Matrix. I don't know. But I hear where you're coming from. And by the way, for my listeners, Asher Mendelson, 15 years, is 5 years at the Columbus Crew, U.S. national program, has been a part of creating MLS Next and that under 23 program. We'll get to that in a bit of a second. But you know what Dynamo fans say to me is, if everything's so good, how can there not be change in personnel? Because it hasn't been good the last 9 years. I mean, we have to be honest. And I think that's the refreshing thing that Pat Onstad, yourself, Paulo Nagamura are coming. We're finally speaking in reality, which we haven't been for a long, long time. And I don't even think the rest of the country understands how deep down we are here in Houston and how much potential there is going forward in a multicultural city full of soccer people. Does that mean some personnel will change? And you know, look, I don't like seeing people lose their jobs, but we got to be in reality here, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think when we're talking about personnel, there's two kind of ways to look at it. One is what does the roster look like on the field, and then the other is what's the backroom staff look like. I mean, and I think we have a lot of talent here in the backroom staff, and I'm still getting to know a lot of the people. Pat's been here a little longer than I have, but he's still getting to know people. And having conversations in the off season is very different than seeing people work in the season. So I think we have a lot of talent here in the back room that I think we need to properly utilize and really align with, again, this identity that we're talking about. And so if we want to play a proactive style of play, do we have the field to do that? Do we have the high performance team to get the players ready to perform at that level? You know, everything has to align around it. If we're a player first organization, and which we want to be, do we have the right player care resources in place? And are people focused on that? And one thing that's really struck us when we're talking about support staff is the how much the people here care about this team and how, you know, how much they put into supporting the players and wanting us to win. And what we need to do is just align that underneath this new identity and put people to work and to make this identity a reality. So I think we have a lot of talent there, but I think your question is probably more oriented around the roster.
It's the roster. It's the academy. It's the under 23 team. And it's kind of an unfair question because, I mean, geez, you just got here. I mean, like you said, you have to see people work in order to find out who are the ones who are going to help you execute your mission and your plan here. Because look, people are educated down here. They know how difficult to turn this around it's going to be, and it is going to take time. Is there a time frame that ownership has given you guys? You know, look, guys, you don't have to get it right the first 4 months, right? But, you know, you do have a timetable of 2 to 3 years, whatever it is, because, you know, Sporting Kansas City, for instance, it took a long time to turn that around under Peter Vermes.
Yeah, no, I think the ownership's been great. First of all, I mean, you couldn't ask for a better combination of people who are engaged and supportive and want to give resources without trying to make decisions in areas that they don't have expertise. And that's that takes a lot of self-discipline to not overstep that bound. I mean, I've really, really been impressed with my interaction so far with ownership and how they've supported this early stage, and also how they've set out a vision of where they want to go and how soon they want to, and the realism of how soon they want to get there. For us, I can tell you this, that we want to be in the playoffs next year. I mean, I think we're going to be disappointed if we're not in the playoffs. And you know, I know some people say, well, how does that pressure feel? And I just say, look, we're in pro sports. You know, if you're not aiming to get in the playoffs, why, you know, you're in the wrong business. And so, I mean, that is an expectation that we've certainly set, and we're not shy about saying that. So, you know, in terms of, you know, I don't think we're very many pieces away from being able to do that. You know, I see a lot of resources here that just need to be reallocated and aligned. And I think with Paulo, we have a clear way. We have someone who can implement the way that we want to play. I think the way we want to play suits Houston very well from a climate standpoint, and from what we've heard from fans and former players, and you know, that they want to see. And so, and Pat's described that. I mean, we want to be proactive. You know, essentially, when you're playing in this type of climate, in this type of heat, no one's going to be able to run with us. They're just not. I mean, you're not physically adapted to be able to play here in the summer months unless you're living in it. And the only teams that are living in it are Orlando and Miami. So, if teams, you know, teams aren't going to want to play a vertical game against us. So they're either going to want to play, in our third or in their third. And, you know, and clubs can make a conscious choice. You know, we could sit here and say, look, let's bunker in and let's transition and let's, you know, let's build a team to do that. But that's not what we want to do. We want to be proactive. That's a word you hear a lot from Pat. You know, we want to be playing in their third. We want them to feel the pressure of when they come into Houston, that this is a difficult place to play. And we're building a team that can try to accomplish that. And, you know, that's a big part of why we're excited about Paulo, is that's the way his teams like to play. And so we think we found someone who can execute what we're hoping, takes advantage of one of our biggest assets, which is, you know, the city of Houston, the climate in Houston, the weather here. We think that's a huge advantage for us, and we should fully embrace that.
Okay, that was part one of the interview with Asher Mendelson, the new technical director for the Houston Dynamo. The Dynamo, for the first time ever, have a technical director now, so these are exciting times. To hear the full interview with Asher, all you have to do is go to ESPN975.com, click on podcasts, and find Soccer Matters. Danish Inspirations, Modern Contemporary Furniture, my great friend Jan Christensen, a big thank you for DanishInspirations.com, their modern contemporary furniture, for them supporting Soccer Matters here on ESPN975, presented by Daspit Law Firm. We'll take a break, more to come.
ESPN 97.5.